Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 35. The Gopis sing of Krishna. Text number 12 through 17. Yeah, I think what we'll do, even this is two verses together, let's just chant the first one responsively. Let's see. Saha bala sragavatang savilasa. Sanu shukshiti brito vraja devya. Harshayan yarhi venura vena. Jata harsha uparam bhati vishvam. Saha bala sragavatam savilasa. Sanu shukriti brito vraja devya. Harshayan yari venura vena. Jata harsha uparam bhati vishvam. Saha bala sragavatam savilasa. Sanu shukshiti brito vraja devya. Harshayan yari venura vena. Jata harsha uparam bhati vishvam. Sanu shukriti brito vraja devya. Harshayan yari venura vena. Jata harsha uparam bhati vishvam. Sadilasa.
Sanu Shri Vito Rajadevya Harshanya Rili Nuravina Jata Harsha Uparambati Visham.
So we can chant all together the next one.
Maharati Pramana Sankita Kita Manda Manda Manu Garjati Megha Suriranabhya Shatumano Bhish Chayanata Yadhatatam.
I think I'll skip the word meanings since we have a couple more, four more verses to chant. Translation. O goddesses of Braja, when Krishna is enjoying himself with Balaram on the mountain slopes, playfully wearing a flower garland on the top of his head, he enlightens all with the resonant vibrations of his flute. Thus he delights the entire world. At that time, the nearby cloud, afraid of offending a great personality, thunders very gently in accompaniment. The cloud showers flowers onto his dear friend Krishna and shades him from the sun like an umbrella.
Vivida gopa charaneshu vidagdho vinu vaja uru dhanija siksha tavasuta sati yadadara bimbe tata vinu nanayat swarajati Savana Shasta Dupadhaya Suresha Chakra Shava Parameshi Puraga Kavaya Anata Kandara Chita Pashma Vanya Yura Nishchitta Tattva.
O pious Mother Yashoda, your son, who is expert in all the arts of herding cows, has invented many new styles of flute playing. When he takes his flute to his bimba red lips and sends forth the tones of the harmonic scale in variegated melodies, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and other chief demigods become confused upon hearing the sound. Although they are the most learned authorities, they cannot ascertain the essence of that music, and thus they bow down their heads and hearts. Purport. The words Tavasuta Sati, your son, O chaste lady, clearly indicate that at this point Mother Yashoda is among the young gopis, as they earnestly describe Lord Krishna's glories. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, among the demigods led by Shukra, Lord Indra, were Upendra, Upendra is Vamanadev, Agni and Yamaraj. Among those led by Sharva, Lord Shiva, were Katyayani, Skanda, and Ganesh. And among those led by Parameshti, Lord Brahma, were the four Kumaras and Narada. Thus, the best collective intelligence in the universe could not definitively analyze the enchanting musical arrangements of the Supreme Lord.
Nija padabja dale dhvaja vajra nila jankusha vichitta lamai vraja bhuvashmayam bhuratada vashma bhuyagati ridita venu vraja ditena vayam savilasa Krishna Pita Mano Bhavavega Gujagatinga Mitana Vidama Pashmalena Kavaranda Sananda.
As Krishna strolls through Raja with his lotus petal like feet, marking the ground with the distinctive emblems of flag, thunderbolt, lotus, and elephant goad, he relieves the distress the ground feels from the calves' hoofs. As he plays his renowned flute, His body moves with the grace of an elephant. Thus we gopis, who become agitated by Cupid when Krishna playfully glances at us, stand as still as trees, unaware that our hair and garments are slackening. Purport. Here Mother Yashoda is no longer in the company of the gopis, who are confidentially describing their conjugal attraction to Sri Krishna. It is clear from the comments of Jiva Goswami and other acharyas that the statements in this chapter were made at various times and places. This is natural, since the gopis were always absorbed in thoughts of Sri Krishna day and night. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Very intimate pastimes of Krishna we're hearing about. Recently I've been reading the second canto. In the second canto there's description of creation. And there's description of the universal form and how to meditate on the universal form. In fact, Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukadeva Goswami, because Shukadeva mentions about meditation, the first step in God realization. So then Parikshit Maharaj asks him, well, how do we go about this meditation? So in the course of describing this, Prabhupada explains in the purport, and there may be some verses that make this basically the same point, that this form of the Lord is actually an imagination. It's not real, actually. And it's really for the materialists. In fact, there's one verse at the end of the second canto, chapter 10, where Sukadeva Goswami says that the pure devotees of the Lord deserve to hear more transcendental pastimes of the Lord. And actually what happens is, at the end of that, very end of that chapter, Sukadeva Goswami says, now I'm going to speak about the Padma Kalpa. And then Shonaka Rishi, he says to Suta Goswami, can we hear about Vidura? It's sort of like, we've already heard enough about creation. Can we hear about the pure devotee now? We want to hear about Vidura. So he's a good example of how the pure devotees want to hear about more transcendental pastimes. But what I thought was remarkable was, here's Shukadeva Goswami, or Parikshit Maharaj. He only has 7 days to live. And he's actually asking questions about, you might say, kind of mundane things, the creation and the imaginary universal form of the Lord, and what the materialist should meditate on. So Prabhupada explains, why is he doing this? He's doing it for our benefit. So just imagine the depth of compassion that he has, Parikshit Maharaj. He's going to die any day now, and he's probably eager to get to the 10th canto, hear about the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. But for our benefit, from completely gross materialists, he's asking questions so that this whole Bhagavatam will unfold step by step for the benefit of everyone. So his first thought is not about himself. His first thought is about helping the suffering humanity, especially in Kali Yuga. So we're fortunate. We're hearing the nectar of nectar. Sadam, sadam, samudritam. And the Bhagavatam is called the cream of the cream. You take the cream and you condense it down even more. That the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're told, even right from the very beginning, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. This Bhagavatam delivers rasa. Rasamalayam. Pibata, drink it. We're told to drink the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we're hearing especially about Krishna's flute. How beautiful it is, isn't it, to hear about descriptions of Krishna's flute. This remarkable information that we get, that God is not only a beautiful young boy, but he plays a flute. Forest bamboo flute. And of course, this very nice verse that we're hearing today, that flute, his flute playing is so amazing that even the greatest intellects, they can't analyze the music. You know, people who are trained in music, they hear music and then they say, oh, automatically they analyze it. For anything, just like when I read something, I tend to look at it as an editor and think, oh, this needs editing. So people who are trained musicians, so they'll, of course, they can listen to very complex things like classical music with all varieties of terminology. They can say, well, this, you know, so many things, they can describe it. And then they listen to rock and roll and they'll say, oh, this is just three chords, C, F, and G. Tends to be what I think rock and roll. I used to sing in a rock and roll band in high school, and I remember the guitar players, they would, you know, this is in C and F. They only had to learn like three chords to play most of the rock and roll songs back in those days. So that's easy to analyze. But music, it becomes more and more complex. Just like Indian music, of course, it's extremely complex. We were hearing the other day how, what Keisha was saying, there are as many ragas as there are species of life or something like that. So 8,400,000 ragas. So not only does Lord Brahma understand these, he created them. He created everything at the beginning of the universe. Everything's coming out of his body. I've been coming across in different places how Brahma is actually the soul of the universe. He's the jiva. The whole universe is like his body. And Krishna is the super soul, or Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the universe. So everything that exists here in this universe, Brahma knows about it. And of course, others that are mentioned here too. The most intelligent personalities of the universe, the Kumaras, Narada Muni. So they're so learned. But when they hear Krishna playing his flute, you would think, well, how complex music, how much, you know, there's a whole orchestra, okay, all these different parts, and they combine in all these complex ways. But just out of the flute, how can you bewilder someone? Well, that's the point, isn't it? He's bewildering them. They can't think. They can only relish. That's the idea. They're so overwhelmed by the ecstasy that is putting them in that they can't, the analytical function gets shut off. They can only listen and enjoy. That's really what good music is, isn't it? You shut off the analysis and you just get into it. You just go with it. So that's what happens when Krishna plays his flute. Everyone just goes with it. Not only do they go with it, they're taken away by it. They're completely overwhelmed by it. They stop, the rivers flow backwards, we were hearing yesterday. All the things that happened earlier, we heard the gopis are glorifying Krishna's flute in the Gopi Gita. In fact, Krishna's flute is it's calling the gopis. When Krishna plays his flute, like when the gopis showed up for the rasa dance, Krishna said, what are you doing here? And they said, you called us with your flute. We were hearing at some point how when Krishna, words can come from his flute, not just sounds. He can communicate with his flute. Just like in the beginning of creation to Brahma, he communicated with two syllables, tappa. So Brahma knew what that meant. Tappa, I need to meditate. So when Krishna plays his flute, he can also communicate. In fact, we hear in Brahma Samhita that when Krishna plays his flute, it entered into the ear of Brahma, and when it came out from his mouth, it was manifest as the Gayatri, Kama Gayatri Mantra. So that sound is also Kama. Of course, Kama, the Kama Bij, the Gayatri Mantra, Kama means desire. So it fulfills all desires. Our desire, of course, is supposed to be with Krishna, to hear Krishna's flute. Wouldn't it be nice if we could hear Krishna's flute? Imagine what it's like. Well, we don't have to imagine, we're hearing. But to actually hear Krishna's flute, we should aspire for that. That's why we're hearing these things, hearing the pastimes of Krishna. That's our goal in life. It's meant to be our goal. Of course, our goal is also to serve Krishna. I've been thinking about these two things go together. They seem to be maybe contradictory. For example, we're told we shouldn't want to enjoy Krishna. But we can't help it, actually, because Krishna is so enjoyable. Now, maybe that word is not the right word. But aswadana, or swadu. Swadu, swadu, pade, pade. In the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, it says, those who are advanced, they enjoy hearing about Krishna at every step. So hearing about Krishna Katha is Krishna. So So when you enjoy hearing about Krishna, you're enjoying Krishna. And in the Guru Vashtakam, it said, Patikshana Swadana Lolupasya. This word is very common. Aswadana or Swadana. Swadana. That's used in both ways. So what is that line? Patikshana Swadana Lolupasya. Lolupa. Lolupa means like lolium. Asya. Asya of him. You'll notice in this Guru Vashtakam, many of the words end with asya. So it means of him who. So we're talking about the spiritual master. So we're glorifying he who, what is he, what is his lolium? Pratikshana swadhana. He wants to, sridadika madhava yorapara. The transcendental pastimes of Radha Madhava, aswadhana. He wants to relish his greedy lobha, lolupasya. He's greedy to relish. Desiring strongly to relish. Pratikshana, at every moment. Kshana means moment. Pratikshana, moment after moment. In other words, never stopping. For the devotee, devotees never want, they only want the sound of Krishna's flute to enter the ear, nothing else. Bile pato rukrama vikramanye, said in the second chapter. The ear holes that are filled up with other sounds, mundane sounds, they're like the snake holes in the field. I remember years ago, when we first heard this, there was some confusion of what snake holes were. Devotees used to speculate that snakes had little tiny ear holes that they couldn't hear with. But Prabhupada makes it clear in places that snake holes means the holes in the field where the snakes live. So your ears are like that, fit to be inhabited by snakes. When the mundane vibration, if you're eager for the mundane vibration to enter and not the sound of Krishna's flute. Now, of course, we're not, what is Krishna's flute? We can take this in some ways also metaphorically. Or anything, any transcendental sound vibration is coming from Krishna's flute. Krishna Katha is the sound of Krishna's flute. Golokera Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan. That's coming from, you can say, it's coming from Krishna's flute. In another sense, Krishna is non-different from his flute. He's non-different from Arajya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam. His Dham, everything about Krishna, his dhoti. Sometimes I think, why does Krishna always have to wear yellow? I can wear so many colors, he only wears yellow. Well, Krishna is not different from his dhoti. You can look at it that way. Krishna is his dhoti. It's part of him. It's part of his being. It's just like he has blue-toned skin, so he has a yellow dhoti. Of course, in his avatars, he can dress in different ways also, so he can expand his wardrobe if he wants to, which he does. And as the deity, of course, every day, all over the world, he's wearing so many different colors. But this is also Krishna. So Krishna is different, non-different from his flute. He's non-different from his katha. The Bhagavatam is Krishna. So this is what we're meant to hear, these things. Shravanat Kirtan Jale. When Lord Chaitanya is explaining to Rupa Goswami how we get the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. In one purport, Prabhupada said that means the instructions of the spiritual master, how to advance in spiritual life. That's the seed. And we take those seeds, that seed, and we water it. How do we water it? Shravan Kirtan, especially. Among all the processes of devotional service, Shravana comes first, of course, hearing. That's the basis of everything. That's the foundation, really. Without hearing, then you don't know what to do. And also your mind, there's no inspiration for kirtan. If there's no shravana, if you're not hearing, where's the inspiration for kirtan? Or speaking, kirtan of course is not only chanting, but glorification of Krishna. Kirtayanti. So the inspiration comes from within. When the sound goes in the ear of Krishna Katha, then it goes to the heart. Changes the heart, waters that seed in the heart. So when other sound goes in, we should understand how that sound is actually violent, doing violence. Like when you water a plant, so we water. One thing about this plant, this seed of bhakti, or creeper of bhakti, the bhakti lata bij, first is the seed, the bija, then the lata, bhakti lata, which means the sprout, the plant sprouts, the creeper of devotion sprouts. So we have to keep watering. And sometimes when you have plants, you can only water so much, especially house plants. If you water them too much, they'll die. But this plant is not like that. It can take as much water as you can give it. It likes to be watered, like we have drip irrigation, you know, drip, drip. So we have our drip, drip, Hare Krishna, constantly, 24 hours a day, constant drip, keep it alive. So that creeper of devotion can be watered constantly, it should be watered constantly. And the water, of course, should be pure, not other things. Just like you want to water a plant, then you want good clean water, not full of pollutants. Now we live in a toxic age. We have to worry about acid rain coming down and destroying everything, destroying the plant. So that's what mundane katha is, acid rain for the creeper of devotion. But we have to develop a taste for that, want to relish that taste, not think, no, I'm not allowed to enjoy Krishna Katha because I'm not supposed to enjoy, I'm only supposed to serve. Now this we're allowed to enjoy, the sound of Krishna's Katha. In fact, that's our natural. Just like the gopis, sometimes we look at we hear the gopis, Ramya Kachir Upasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita. So it said, Prabhupada would quote this line often. It's from a work called the Chaitanya Mata Manjusha, which is a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the very first verse of that. Actually, I don't know if the rest of it's available, but we have this one verse. So this Arhaji Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas, so that's there. And then Ramya Kachir Upasana. So the line is that there's no method of worshipping Krishna that is more pleasing to him than the method invented, you could say, by the gopis. Ramya. Ramya means pleasing. So what are we learning? One thing when we read about this, we're learning, because the gopis are the teachers, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us how to worship Krishna, so the gopis are also teaching us how to worship Krishna. So what are they teaching? Full absorption. Full absorption and full dedication. And that full absorption is they're thinking of themselves, we're only the servants of Krishna. But at the same time, they're always in ecstasy. In the peak, the highest ecstasy. They're mad, actually. They're in constant madness. The ecstasy of even thinking about Krishna is so intense that it drives them mad. So they're certainly enjoying. And our other acharyas, like the Goswamis, Gopi Bhavara Samritabdi Lahari Kalola Magno Mahur, they're diving and surfacing in the nectar ocean of Gopi Bhava. So that pleasure is there, and it's natural for our souls. That's actually what we're looking for when we're looking for replacements in this world, trying to get it here and there, or even when we're this world is a place of suffering, so we're always looking for shelter. Where do we turn for shelter? So we should be turning to Krishna Katha, to the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, not to other things, other vibrations. Because we're so conditioned, we're soothed by something else, for, you know, maybe classical music or the evening news or whatever. I was thinking that we have our preliminary. We chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. So when we hear that, we should feel, oh, that now it's time for Bhagavatam class. Huh? Our spirit should be enlivened by this prelim. Huh? Not the evening news by whoever it is. You know, that's a prelim also. People have their talks on this or that, and they have the introduction. They have their little, a lot of times they have musical riffs, right? Every show has its little musical introduction. So our musical introduction is Jai Radha Madhava. I was just hearing recently, I was surprised actually, I hadn't heard this before. I was reading a book where a devotee was discussing, you know, higher levels, devotees should aspire for higher levels in Krishna consciousness. And he was saying that some in the Gaudiya, even in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, he's heard remarks from people that they're surprised that neophyte devotees in ISKCON chant Jaya Radha Madhava, because it's actually, you know, it's a rustic song, you could say. You know, it's about Krishna and the gopis, and so it's actually a very elevated song. So this is another indication of how Prabhupada gave us everything. He gave us Krishna and the gopis in the very early stages of our development and our progress in Krishna consciousness. So we have so much. We're given everything. Look at the books we have. There's so many books. I want to read this. I always have a stack of books that I'm reading from at the same time, because I start reading one and then I get attracted to reading another one. I just read the Tattvasandarbha. It's so ecstatic. I recommend it highly. Because now we have ISKCON edition, but BBT edition. It's available at the Krishna.com store. So it's so nice. I learned so many things from it. It was so good. I'm reading it. In fact, I read it twice already. I'm ready to start a third time through it, because I keep thinking of, what was that again? I kind of forgot. There's a lot of interesting things. So there's so much. Don't have time to read other things, hear other things, and let that garbage, is what it is, actually. In the Bhagavatam, it says the place of pilgrimage for crows. If there's no glorification of Krishna, then it's the place of pilgrimage for crows. It's meant to be, we're meant to be swan-like men, paramahamsas. I don't know if any of you have seen, if you ever saw old Back to Godhead magazines, they used to have an ad way back in the 60s, I guess it was. It was something like knowledge or books for swan-like men. And they had, as I remember, I think there was a swan in the picture in the books, and a picture of Prabhupada with his chin kind of up, looking very dignified. So the books for swan-like men, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're meant to become swans, like Srila Prabhupada, following his footsteps. So how do we do it? You associate with the paramahamsas, with the swans, not with the crows in crow-like literature, but with the swan, the nectar for the swans. And that nectar, again, is ultimately coming from Krishna's flute, and we're hearing about here. The gopis, the highest example of devotion to Krishna, this is what they talk about. They don't talk, they can talk about anything, and they're fully realized. So what do they talk about? Krishna's flute. How wonderful it is, the flute of Krishna. We can become perfect just by thinking about the flute of Krishna. How nice is that? So we have such a nectar process of advancement in Krishna consciousness. We can absorb our minds all the way up, actually. I talk about the early cantos. I actually enjoy it quite a bit, reading about the creation. It's nice to, because we're learning about Krishna. That's it. Devotees want to know all about Krishna. I mean, in the highest stage, maybe this kind of melts away, you might say, because of the overwhelming attraction. When you really get attracted to Shyama Sundar, then these others are kind of forget about. But at our stage, everything about Krishna is interesting. Prabhupada, he would get so excited talking about the most basic things, because he was, of course, preaching to us, and you might say, Madhyamadikari level. But he was demonstrating all aspects of Krishna are nectar. Bhagavad Gita is nectar. We shouldn't think, I'm so advanced, I don't need that anymore. Well, it was good enough for Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It was good enough for Baladev Vidyabhushan. It was good enough for Srila Prabhupada. They didn't give it up. So it's good enough for us. It's advanced enough for us. So everything, it's all nectar. Because it's all Krishna. manifesting himself in different ways. So we have to latch on to Krishna's lotus feet, get into traction. And then actually what happens is, not that I can testify to it, but I can say that this is the philosophy, that things become easier. Naturally, when you're inspired, because it's hard, sadhana bhakti, no doubt, we have our conditioning, it's hard, it's a struggle, but it becomes easier if you're inspired. Everything becomes easy if you're inspired. So how do we become inspired? By hearing. That's the only way. Hearing and chanting and trying to, as much as possible, implement these instructions. Water the seed, make our creeper stronger and stronger, that it could withstand the onslaughts of Kali Yuga. So we have all, everything we need to do that. All right, we had so many verses, I can't read through them all. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Additions? Dharmaraj Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. I have two questions. The first one was asked by my wife, and I think she's probably listening on the internet here now. We are hearing of all these nice melodies and tunes that Krishna is playing. Oh, do we know any of them?
They're ever new. Krishna creates new ones at every moment. Nava nava rasa dama yutita marantama asit. As far as I know, they've never been cataloged and written down in musical notation, so no. Actually, one way we know them, because they come through the... When Srila Prabhupada sings, you can say, that's Krishna's flute. Put on a bhajan of Srila Prabhupada chanting, Haraye Nama Krishna. So many beautiful songs. So that's Krishna's flute, as we can hear it. But from the technical point of view, not as far as I know.
I guess there are some devotees says that sometimes they would sing some melodies of Lord Chaitanya, so apparently they have some traces of that.
I don't know about that either. Most of our melodies come, well, who knows where they come from. I know some of them come from popular Indian songs or American songs. I heard devotees singing one time. I said, oh no, that's a Rolling Stones melody. I don't know. So they come from many places. But Narottam, he gave us many melodies. Narottam Das Thakur, he was especially a composer of melodies. And of course, there's a whole tradition, like we're saying, there's all these ragas. Lord Brahma has created so many melodies. But whether we're getting the pure ones or not, I don't know. Lord Chaitanya's melodies, I never heard that one before. That'd be nice to think of that. But
also earlier in the class, we were mentioning that a devotee enjoys Krishna. Is it that he enjoys Krishna, or he enjoys with Krishna as being part and parcel of Krishna? Is there a difference?
Well, you can say there's a flow between them, which is enjoyment or enjoyable or nectar. So whether you're on the receiving end or the giving end, in fact, when you're the receptacle of love for Krishna, you enjoy more. That's why Lord Chaitanya came. This is described in the first, the Adi Lila, Volume 1. The Ashraya and the, what is the other? Ashrita, is it? So the receptacle of the love enjoys more than the recipient. The gopis are giving their love to Krishna and Krishna's receiving it. But he's saying, but they have it all. I want to see what it's like to have it. To have it is more than to receive it. It's more, 10,000 times, Lord Krishna is thinking. The gopis are enjoying 10,000 times, or is it 10 million times, more than I am. So I want to see what that's like. It was talking about lobha, greed. So that's what it said. Veti lobha. Lord Chaitanya was greedy to see what that tastes like. So you can say it's the exchange where it's enjoyable in both ends. It's relishable at both ends of the exchange. The flow is going. Of course, it's going back and forth. It's a constant going back and forth. So whichever end you're on, it's overwhelming you with ecstasy.
You were quoting that verse from it's a commentary of
Srinath Chakravarti. Yes. That's what you're asking?
From Chaitanya Manojush.
Yes.
What was that?
Chaitanya Mata Manjusha is the name of the book. Chaitanya Mata, which means Lord Chaitanya's opinion. And Manjusha means treasure chest, something like that. So this book, well, I don't know anything about it except this. I just know that that's the first verse of it, and that's a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam written by... Now, sometimes I think Prabhupada has said Vishwanath Chakravarti. So there's some confusion about that, but I'm pretty sure the definitive statement, which I heard recently, in fact, I think that was in the Tattva Sandarbha, is it was written by someone called Srinath Chakravarti, not Vishwanath Chakravarti. And who he is, let's see, that I came across on the internet, so I won't say because it may not be correct, whose disciple he was. But he's definitely in our parampara. Gaudiya Vaishnava. Well, not naturally. In fact, this is a very popular verse because it's a very nice condensation. It's four lines. So the first one is Krishna is worshipable. His Dham is worshipable. The gopis are the... they showed us how to worship Krishna. And the next line is that the Bhagavatam is the highest pure pramanam, or evidence of Krishna, of reality, you can say. And it's very dear to the Vaishnavas. So this is the line. It says, so these are the opinions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he says, which I regard very highly. So this is that verse. I respect, or I... Yes, Mataji?
Thank you. I was wondering about, you're talking... You know, we know that the ultimately pure devotional service is, you know, what we're here for. And what I was wondering as helping people to come to Krishna consciousness and helping, you know, myself as well as a conditioned soul, what's the balance between the just Krishna and then the Yukta Vairagya part, or, you know, when do we start, when is it okay to use some of the, you know, material things like counseling or other things like that in Krishna's service, and what's, you know, is that favorable?
Yeah, well, that's what we have to decide. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. What's favorable and what's unfavorable? Well, one palena parichiyate, we judge a thing by its result. And I think, but we always have to be on guard for you know, our tendency may be to go to the material without, in lieu of going to the spiritual. In other words, that may be the first place we turn rather than turning to Krishna first. But now, that's, of course, this counseling is a good... I know this sometimes becomes controversial, whether we should get ordinary counseling or even devotees. I mean, ideally, I would say devotees should get counseling from other devotees, if that's possible. Because, for one thing, the non-devotees, they can't understand, really, who we are. You know, because a counselor really has to understand the person they're dealing with. So they can never really understand what our motivations are, what we're trying to do. They just don't really get it. So it really is, you know, if you need counseling or anyone who needs counseling, it's best to get it from a devotee if possible. Now, if that's not available, and, you know, there may be devotees, they need that. Just like we get help from material things, so that's a material thing, and that may be there. But you might say it in some ways, you know, maybe it's dangerous and it's not the best thing. But just in general, you talked about preaching, for preaching, you know, using things. Now, preaching, of course, I'm talking about shravanam kirtanam. Well, preaching is kirtanam, of course, spreading Krishna consciousness. And in preaching, we may say things that are No, a lot of times book distributors, they want the person to take the book, so they kind of give a very watered down kind of line. They don't come right out and talk about Krishna's flute necessarily, or Lord Nisringadev, or whatever. They talk just some very basic kind of thing. If you want to be happy, you know, read this book kind of thing. So that's also Krishna Katha, you can say, because you're introducing someone to Krishna. So it's hard to give a definitive answer, what's right, what's not right. I think what a lot of this has to do with using our discrimination. What was it Prabhupada said? Use your intelligence. What we were hearing the other day on the remembrances was quite interesting from Giriraj Maharaj. One of the last things that Prabhupada said to him, Prabhupada asked him, do you think the movement will go on? And Giriraj Maharaj said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I think if the devotees, you know, follow the regulative principles and chant their 16 rounds. And Prabhupada said, intelligence and organization. So he was kind of, Giriraj Maharaj was kind of surprised that Prabhupada was saying that, but he said, Prabhupada was thinking in a very practical way, even he was passing away from this world, but he was thinking in a very practical way on how his movement would go on. Yes, you have to follow the rules and regulations, but you have to use your intelligence too. Intelligence and organization. So we're also, you know, there's kind of, you might say, the bliss of hearing and chanting and kirtan and so on, the bliss of spiritual life, but we have to be intelligent too. And one time, Prabhupada also said one time something like, yes, you require intelligence. And if you don't have any, ask somebody who does. So that's another aspect of it. If we're having a hard time figuring out, even Prabhupada himself, he consulted his god brothers. He was when his business was falling apart, you know, he wasn't sure what is Krishna trying to tell me something here. So he was consulting god brothers, and especially what his god brother Keshava Maharaj. Of course, at that time Prabhupada was also getting dreams of his spiritual master, telling him to take sannyas. He was saying, is this real? Is he really telling me? So Bhakti Pragyana Keshava Maharaj said, yes, you must take sannyas. The Prabhupada credited this godbrother of his with inspiring him, delivering or his spiritual master speaking through him. So he was consulting. That was the point. Prabhupada was consulting with his godbrothers, because collective intelligence is sometimes better than our individual intelligence. Even in our movement as a whole, but this is also something Prabhupada said, I think this came out the other day too in that remembrance, is that among you I don't see anybody who's got it together, you might say, whatever word Prabhupada used, but all together, then there's strength. That example Prabhupada gave, I think this is a traditional example, that one stick you can break very easily, but if you bundle a bunch of sticks together, you can't. Or one page in a phone book you can rip easily, but try to rip a whole phone book, you can't. So consultation is important also if we have practical questions about our spiritual life. So I don't know if I addressed your question, but that's some attempt.
You did. But the main thing with the preaching is I was...
Use the microphone. Oh, you don't have the microphone anymore. I'm someone who listens at home now, so I know what it's like when I can't hear the question. It's frustrating.
You did answer that the main thing when I was mentioning the preaching was not so much from my part, but just like how to present Krishna consciousness at a level where they are, so they can actually digest it. So that's what I was wondering. Like, you know, sometimes people might not be ready for, I mean, not necessarily Krishna's flute and the gopis, but just, you know, giving everything up and just Krishna. Like, there's like, you know, the process. It's gradual. So, you know, trying to understand what is part of the gradual process that moves you forward and when you're actually getting off track. So that was kind of the thing.
Yeah, that's where we pray to Krishna for inspiration on how to do that. Even for some person, just being their friend without really telling them anything, maybe. Just like Jayananda Prabhu, he was such a nice example of that. I used to, you know, do some service with him, working on the Rath Yatra. We would go here and there, and people were just attracted to him because he was such a nice, friendly guy. And of course, he would say Hare Krishna, too, to people. And one thing about him I always noticed was He was never embarrassed or shy about being a Hare Krishna devotee. It was just, that's who he was, and it just came out, and people were attracted to it. They knew he was a Hare Krishna, and they, so that, for them, these people who, you know, he probably couldn't really preach them on some other level. Banana King Louie, he was a guy who used to buy bananas from some of these people. So they were just merchants he was dealing with, but they actually made some advancement because they appreciated this Hare Krishna devotee. So that was his inspiration. He helped so many people, actually. I'm sure these people made some progress in spiritual life just by his association. Madan Mohan Prabhu?
Prabhupada gave that as the definition of Shraddha. He says that someone just respects all their nice people,
yeah,
appreciation, any of that, so ado Shraddha, then the next is sadhusanga. So,
yeah, they just have some positive feeling. Oh, these are nice people, these Hare Krishnas. So that's, their spiritual life has begun just by that.
Prabhu, you were also saying how earlier in the class about Srila Prabhupada, he's given us everything, you know, the Jai Radha Madhava, the Sarasik Bhava, you know, deity worship, Radha Krishna, Radha Shama Sundar. And so we hear sometimes, oh, well, this guru, that guru says we don't have it all in ISKCON or through Srila Prabhupada, and I know that to be incorrect, that we do have everything. So could you just say something about that a little bit more?
Well, one thing is, I think the fundamental answer to that question is, do you have faith that Srila Prabhupada can deliver you or not? Do you believe that Prabhupada can bring you back to Godhead? Well, I do. So I don't feel like I have to go somewhere else. And he himself, you know, really it's offensive to Srila Prabhupada because he himself said that everything is there. So if we think, well, not everything isn't there, then isn't that offensive to Srila Prabhupada? Now, I suppose one rebuttal to that can be, yes, but everything is there in Prabhupada's books, but in Prabhupada's books he said you should, you know, get the association here directly from the advanced Vaishnavas or something. But I think it's also offensive to think that there are no advanced devotees in ISKCON. Or in that you may think, you're thinking or you're implying that the process that Prabhupada has given us doesn't work. I mean, I myself believe that there are devotees in this movement who have made advancement and are advanced devotees. For 40 years, devotees who have really applied themselves and done always the right things, which there are devotees like that, with full enthusiasm, tried to serve Prabhupada to their full energy for 30, 40 years, they haven't made any advancement? I don't believe that. They must be advanced souls. And they're also writing nice books, some of these devotees. If you read them, you'll see, wow, this devotee sounds like they really have some taste and some realization in Krishna consciousness. And they're inspiring others to go on to higher levels of Krishna consciousness. So the Advanced Devotees Association is there in ISKCON. It's available. So I just don't find the need. And Srila Prabhupada, he was, you know, he wanted us to stay together. We're a family. He wanted his family to stay together. He was very concerned about that. So if we want his blessing, ultimately that's what it comes down to, isn't it? Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. If you please Srila Prabhupada, then all perfection will come. So we don't have to go outside the house. It's all here in the house of ISKCON. Yes, Dharmaraj Prabhu?
Somewhere Srila Prabhupada said that the sign that devotees are advancing in this movement is that they're staying, and they're staying. So that's it. That in itself is a sign of advancement.
Yeah, he did encourage devotees. You'll see letters like that. Just don't go away. You may have some problems with your god brothers or god sisters, but just don't go away. And when someone would go away and come back, oh, he'd be so happy. He'd be so happy to see his disciples. This is something sometimes I feel like, I wonder, is Prabhupada pleased with what I'm doing? Because sometimes I feel like it's so hard. You know, it's so hard to be Krishna conscious. And I feel like sometimes at the end of the day, because I'm trying to remember Krishna, and I think my day was just a long list of failures because I just didn't remember Krishna. So is Prabhupada pleased? So I think it was one of these remembrances. I think it was Nalini Kanta Prabhu. He went to see, he brought a gift to Prabhupada, $50 or something, I forget, in New Dwarka. He was coming from Phoenix. And he had this, he went in to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada turned up and looked at him with a big smile on his face. That's how, as soon as Prabhupada saw his disciple, he had a big smile on his face. And he thought, you know, as Nalini Kanta was saying, it was just so wonderful to see that. You know, Prabhupada must be pleased with my service. So, in fact, as I was reading in the Bhagavatam, those who meditate on the form of the Lord, they're supposed to meditate on him smiling. Not that Lord Vishnu has this grave, angry look on his face, an angry God looking down at you with furrowed eyebrow. Or, you know. No, he's smiling. He's smiling at you. And we always hear about Krishna smiling. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, was grave, and we have to have that gravity because spiritual life is very serious. Serious business, but we also have to understand that he's pleased. We have to have that sense that if I do what he's asking, if I'm trying to please him, then he will be pleased. I remember hearing years ago from Tejas, old devotee, Tejas Prabhu, used to be temple president in Delhi a long time ago. I remember him saying one time he was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada received a letter from someone who was just coming to Krishna consciousness just at the very beginning. And they were saying something like, it was a couple, they were saying, you know, we're trying, we're attracted to Krishna consciousness, but sometimes we fail, you know, we don't always follow the principles. But he said, but Prabhupada was so happy. He said, just see how they're trying to become Krishna conscious. They're struggling to become Krishna conscious. This is, this effort, this is what we want to see, this effort in Krishna. That's why Prabhupada, that whole, when they wanted to put all of ISKCON under one umbrella corporation, and how Prabhupada shot that down. So what was Prabhupada's reply? No, Krishna consciousness always has to remain a challenge, an individual challenge, that I decide individually, this is what I want in my life. I want to be Krishna conscious, and I'm going to do what it takes to get that. So Prabhupada wanted to see that conviction. That's really what moves us on in Krishna consciousness.
And one more point was, sometimes we see on our daily level of more Kanishta Adhikari or whatever, that there's disagreement amongst devotees, but we hear that, and sometimes we see and experience that on the higher levels of advancement, that devotees, even though they have some disagreements, still there's some mutually respectful and amiable and, you know, just cooperative appreciation and service mood. So could you just talk about how and why that is, like, you know, how it is that on the higher levels they can disagree but agree, but both at the same time?
Because Krishna's in the center. Because there's love. Prabhupada wanted love and trust. And we used to talk about this a lot. Love and trust. So Prabhupada, we're a family, we're supposed to love each other. There's a difference when there's disagreements, when there's no love. If you have a relationship with someone, even that person may offend you, then you tolerate it. Like Prabhupada said, you can stand on my head to serve Krishna. Because the love is there. It's affectionate. Or like the child will kick the parent, you know, the baby is kicking. Whereas some stranger comes along and kicks, you know, that's a completely different thing because the love is there. So there's supposed to be a love between all of us. Prabhupada is our father. We're all his children and grandchildren. So we're supposed to be a loving family. So there may be some disagreements, but it doesn't tear us apart. It doesn't tear everything apart because the foundation is there of the love. And at the center of that is our mutual love for Prabhupada. That's what's nice about these days like Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, when everyone comes and you see, isn't it nice to you hear devotees and say, oh, I see this devotee every day, but to hear the devotee speak and the love of Prabhupada come out, oh, it's so nice, you appreciate, gee, I should love this devotee more. I should have more affection for the devotees because they all love Prabhupada. So that's what keeps us together, that love and our love, trying to love Krishna, awaken our love for Krishna. So that kind of overrides everything else, drowns out all the bickering or, you know, little irritations that are there naturally in the social intercourse. But because of the foundation of love that's there, then it's ultimately we drown in that. We'll all float together back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada's love. His love, it's coming from Prabhupada actually. We're all drinking from that fountain of Prabhupada's mercy. All right. Oh, Radha Damodar Prabhu. Oh, take the microphone.
Srila Prabhupada always said to chant Hare Krishna and be happy, and we always appreciated so much that Prabhupada was happy. Mm. We all came because we wanted to be happy, and Prabhupada was very happy, and Prabhupada smiled. And people also appreciated the devotees as being bright-faced people, and they appreciated the devotees that they were happy. I remember in the early days, we were going Harinam, and we used to smile so much that our cheeks were tired and sore, you know. And even recently, at the Festival of Holy Name, one day I came in and Divyanga was at the door giving some directions to the youth. And then Divyanga went into the temple room, and I heard one youth say, "I'd like to see the smile on Divyanga's face." And the other boy said, "Yeah, you can't fake that."
Yeah. Part of our Harinam, we chat on the corner there. I haven't been able to go lately, but I always think, well, nobody can hear us. You know, they're in their cars, the windows are rolled up, and hardly anybody. But they see us, and they smile. They see the devotees smiling. If the devotees are smiling, they should be happy. And they smile. So that's also preaching. They see just happy Hare Krishnas out there on the corner. Because people want to be happy. So if they see happy people, that's attractive. So of course, that attracted us to Prabhupada. Especially when he showed glimpses of extraordinary happiness, ecstasy, like when he danced at the 74 Rath Yatra. I became a devotee just before that. I was there at that festival. So when Prabhupada was dancing there on the stage, San Francisco, whoa, everything lifted up. We'll talk about some people practice levitation. You know? So Prabhupada levitated everyone there as soon as he started dancing. His happiness lifted up everyone. So it's very, very attractive and purifying to see. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.